right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for an emergency, in a good way, episode of the Screaming Idiot Show. Just got myself and Tyler in here, and for good reason, you understand why, in just a second. So, first off, thanks everybody for tuning in for this special release. As you know, if you've listened to the show, we've been teasing that Tyler and I were going to go to this concert that we attended on Friday here. Counterparts, like Moths to Flames, Boundaries, and Omerita at the King of Clubs in Columbus, Ohio. So, real quick, first off, I do want to talk about the venue for just a second. I've never been there before, and I don't think you'd ever been there before either.
I hadn't been there, but I had heard good things from, like, Scotty had played shows there. Or not played, he had been to shows there. Sure. A couple bands we know has played shows there, and they all speak very highly of the place. And I was pretty curious to see what it was about.
Yeah, me too. And I was really, really impressed with it. You know, been to a lot of venues, and I prefer smaller venues myself, like the King of Clubs, like the Newport, like Madison Theater. We've talked about a lot of these venues before. The old Alarosa Villa. I just think that it creates a more intimate and engaging environment, especially when it comes to a metal show.
See, to me, I don't think those venues are that small.
Right. In all reality, it's not Muddy Creek Saloon.
I'm used to...
You're thinking of a bar.
I'm used to playing in, like, dive bars.
Not an actual, just a music
like,
venue.
Like, I've played at the Newport. I've played at the Alarosa. I've played at some of these venues, but those aren't venues that I play at very often.
Sure.
So when I think of, like, typical venues, anyone in the Ohio, you know, central Ohio area probably has been to the Basement or yep. the NR Bar or something like that. You know, max capacity is, like, I don't know, like 200 in those places.
Sure.
And so that's what I think of, like, a typical venue. And then you have these venues, you know, like the King of Clubs and stuff like that, where you can pack quite a few people in there.
I was gonna say several hundred people in there. I was impressed with, which I'm not sure how new the facility is, but it was very clean. It was very upscaled. Didn't feel like a dive bar of any you know, by any means. Stage was real nice and mm-hmm. high. There was a, now we didn't go up there, but there was like a balcony area, a second level to it that overlooked the stage, you know, nice big bar, outdoor patio. The bathrooms were nice and big enough that, you know, I never had to wait in line to go take a piss or anything like that. So, obviously can't speak from the band's perspectives as far as, how they felt about the venue. And, I would love to get to sit down or have a Zoom conversation with anybody that's played there. To get their opinion of it. But as a fan, from that perspective, man, it was a cool-ass place. And I know we're going to Polaris and Currents there in October, and I can't wait to get there. So, enough about the venue. Let's dive into the show. First off, you know, me personally, I was most looking forward to seeing Moths.
Yep.
We've had entire episodes centered around those guys. And what their music means to us. So I was super, super excited to see them. Full disclosure, I hadn't heard of Omerita until we bought the tickets for this show. And then I started listening to some of their music. They're more new metal, I believe, is kind of what they, you know, consider themselves to be.
I don't know that I'd call it new metal, but there's enough of the rap.
That's kind of what they consider themselves.
Yeah, there's enough of, like, the rap and stuff in there that... Yeah, you could definitely call it that.
New metal vibes, right?
Yeah.
So, I, you know, hadn't heard a lot of Omerita. Honestly, between the four bands on the bill, the one that I really, you know, only really knew that well was Moths.
Right.
You know, I'd heard some Counterpart songs you had sent in the chat. I know you had listened to them, you know, mm-hmm. before. I don't think either one of us had listened to Boundaries much, if at all.
I heard of them with the show announcement.
Okay. Yeah,
so and was, when the show announced, I went and listened to one of their albums while I was in the gym one day.
Okay, gotcha. So we'll run through this band by band. We'll go from, you know, the first fight on the card to the main event.
Chronological,
so,
baby.
Chronological. So Omerita, and Tyler and I did this. The way that we did this was, After every set, we went out to the patio, pulled out our phones, and put notes in our phones for the pod, so we were able to give you our instant reaction to what we saw. So,
and part of that is my ass gonna forget.
Facts. I'm too old to remember.
I forget a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. So, I had to write some notes down, especially for the few bands I hadn't really heard of.
Yes. So I'll go ahead with my notes from Omerita, and I'll read them as I wrote them. Tons of energy.
Mm-hmm.
A ton of energy. Really good vocals. Although a lot of their songs kind of sounded the same live. And their sound quality wasn't great. But they have a ton of potential. None of that is meant in any way, shape, or form to be disrespectful at all. I was super impressed with their vocal style. Hell, you remember when their backup vocalist, and who also was a guitar player, handed his guitar to the front man and grabbed the mic, and they switched for a song. And they have a lot of their song style is super creative. There's a lot of rap in it. There's a lot of guttural, like deathcore type screams in it. A lot of high lows, which, you know, I like the octave screaming.
Well, you knew when the vocalist came out and he was clearly like 5'3", maybe.
Yes. And scrawny. He had on like a black turtleneck with a cross necklace.
Yeah. You knew he was going to like summon demons.
Yeah. And he did too.
He did.
Yeah, bro. He's got pipes. And I met him after the show, you know, went up to him, shook his hand when he was working the merch tent, and a super cool dude too. So, yeah, like I said, just first impression of the band. And the sound thing, really what it was is we had talked about it sounded kind of like they scooped the mids a little bit. The guitars were just kind of washed out, especially I think it was more noticeable early in the set. The later in the set that they got, I could actually hear the guitars a little more. So you might not have been able to, and it might have just been the song, but, you know, they're playing in a really low tuning. Excuse me. So I wanted to hear the guitars a little bit more in my face, the bass mm-hmm. as well. The bass was kind of washed out too. I heard a lot of kick drum. I heard a lot of cymbals, and I heard a lot of vocals.
Yep.
So, you know me, I'm a riff head. So that's just me personally. I want to hear the guitars kind of in my face a little more. I talked about their energy. They were great with the crowd. Like, they were fucking going nuts on stage, getting circle pits going, getting people going nuts in the pit. So for an opening act, man, they brought the fucking energy, and I think they started off the show extremely well from that standpoint. Tyler, oh, yeah. I'll let you go ahead on them.
All right, so the one piece of shit I want to talk, I couldn't get over the pants, bro.
They were dressed very uniquely. One of their guitars had Jankos on. Their front man looked like you ever seen Dragon Ball Z? You ever seen Goku's pants in Dragon Ball Z? They looked like that, but they were like black or gray.
They were gray, but like maybe even puffier.
Yeah, they were pretty poofy, bro. And then their bassist had like a dress shirt on. The other guitarist had like two-tone jeans or something.
Yeah,
they
were like
they stood out. So I think that they their, you know.
So like I don't like to judge people based on their wardrobe. I mean, fuck, I'm a big fan of Slipknot, and they're fucking weird as shit.
You also wear flip flops with jeans.
I do wear flip flops with jeans. So I kind of have no room to talk any shit about wardrobe, but I kept looking over at dude's pants and just...
The Jankos?
But I was looking back and forth at both of them, and I'm just, like, shaking my head.
But you noticed.
I did notice.
So it worked.
It did work.
Yeah.
But, I mean, other than that, I enjoyed their set.
Yeah, for sure.
And
we were vibing. We were bobbing.
I think for an opening act to get the crowd involved the way they did, I can't say there was a ton of people, you know, really circling up, you know, in the pit or anything like that. But to get anybody moving on set one, you either have a crowd of crackheads or you're doing something right.
Yeah.
And I think they was doing something right. And like you said, had a ton of energy moving around the stage, but it wasn't like they were just running back and forth. You know what I mean?
No.
I feel like some bands I've watched, they move around and just like run laps. They're just like pacing back and forth on the stage just for the sake of saying, yeah,
I'm moving,
I moved around, man. Yeah. I'm going. Like,
no, these dudes
what?
Were swinging their guitars around
oh,
and jumping.
Yeah,
they
were having a hell of a time.
Yes, they were having, that's the thing is that I noticed they were having a fucking blast too. So.
And another thing. So their one guitarist that does the screaming
yeah.
and stuff, kind of in the background there. I had a moment where like I just connected with this dude.
Okay, you didn't tell. This is the first I'm hearing about this.
And what it was is after about the third time I seen him do it, I caught the trend.
Okay.
About halfway through the set, you could tell he was like, he was tired.
He was kind of gassed.
Getting gassed. And before a scream, he gave one of those faces like, oh, fuck, here we go. And I was like, I make that same face,
I've
bro.
I've been there, bro.
I do the
That's
same
me.
Thing. When I'm all gassed and shit, I'm like, here comes a scream. I'm like, kind of roll my eyes back. And I'm like, fuck, here we go. Deep breath.
Dude, and it's crazy when you think about it, because the night before they were in Columbus, they're in fucking London, Ontario. They drive like almost 6 hours to Columbus to play. They get done with that, they turn around, they drove to, I think it was Minneapolis, Minnesota, and played the very next night. So this tour they're on is fucking strenuous, bro.
Oh my God, I couldn't imagine.
I mean, I hope they got lots of Celsius on hand.
So that was a pretty cool moment. Like, these guys, they're clearly young and, like you said, have a ton of potential. And the fact that they are doing this thing on the level they are, at the age that they are.
All the way from Houston, Texas.
All the way from Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
And, you know, seeing what they're doing and how they're able to captivate an audience was pretty cool. I did have concerns about the sound, and I wasn't sure how much of that was the sound guy and how much of that was the band. At first, like I mentioned to you, I was concerned because I'd never been to the venue before, so I didn't know what kind of sound we were walking into. But
right.
It, with that said, it had reminded me of the Alrosa days, and they had a notorious sound guy who didn't give a fuck what feedback you had to offer him.
Mm-hmm.
He was very much, I'm going to run sound the way I want to run sound. If you don't like it, fuck off.
Okay.
And it pissed a lot of people off.
Sure. Well,
and,
yeah, naturally. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that he would do would, I mean, every single band had the same kick drum sound because he ran them all through a trigger system, and he fucking blared that shit to where every band that went up, pretty much most of what you heard was a kick drum.
It washed everything out.
And it just overpowered everything. And that shit pissed me off, especially when it's like our style of music and you got Scotty back there going nuts on a double bass.
A lot of kick drum.
And it's like, okay, well, our style isn't really meant to be all fucking kick drum.
Right. This isn't death metal, bro.
So I was really concerned about that because, you know, I'm with you. Most of what I heard was the drums and some cymbals and vocals. I think what the issue was is maybe the guitar tones were maybe a little scooped on the mids.
Mm-hmm.
And what that tends to cause is issues with the bass being able to have its own spot in the mix. So I heard almost no bass.
Right.
I heard bass when there was nothing else playing.
Yes.
Which sucked because I could tell that dude was busy.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
and
I
going
could look
nuts
up,
while he was playing.
Yeah, like I could look up and I could see that he was busy on the fretboard. And he was switching between playing with a pick and playing with his hands, mm-hmm. which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
but I couldn't hear what the fuck he was playing. So right. I'm like, it looks cool.
Yeah.
What you're doing looks
when
cool.
When we're talking about the sound, we're just saying, hey, we felt bad because we know y'all are fucking doing work. And the same, me, you know, being a guitar player, I'm watching both guitarists uh-huh. and they're up and down. They're fucking shredding. I mean, even in verses, they're going nuts. I'm like, man, I want to hear that with some clarity.
Right.
And it was very muffled. It was very muddy. Not putting that on the band at all, or not trying to put that on the band at all. Just wish that I was able to hear their talent a little more, because it's very evident they have it.
Right.
So, but other than that, hell of an opening act. Moving on, second band in the set, Boundaries. Again, band that I hadn't really dove into until this show. And it was probably the first three notes of their first song.
Oh, yeah.
And you and I looked at each other with wide-ass eyes.
And we're like, stank face.
Oh, fuck.
It wasn't even a stank face, okay? It was stank with an A.
We'll just give you the first thing I wrote down for Boundaries in my notes, and I wrote it while they were playing, was wow in all caps. Tyler, yours was something to the effect of
stank face.
Goddamn.
And then goddamn.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Fuck. Yeah. All right. Real quick. Never had checked these guys out much before the show, but damn, am I a fan now. Three vocalists and all three have pipes. Individual talent between each member of the band. Honestly, blew me away more than any band I've ever seen for the first time. They nailed every single note, never missed a beat, and they raged with razor edge precision. That was the most perfect way that I could describe that performance, because that was 20 minutes or however long of absolute raging, but with absolute precision. It was fucking insane, bro.
Oh, it was incredible. And like, that's, as soon as we heard them start, and it wasn't even like they came in with like a warm-up song.
No.
There was no lube. No. They just
no,
went
we had
in.
To bite the pillow. They yeah. went in dry. Yeah.
They went in on it. And the guitar tone was just, it was filthy. All the gain, all the mids.
Oh,
Lord Jesus.
So didn't hear from Omerita as far as tone and sound, we heard it with Boundaries. I mean, and the bass, bro, like mm-hmm. you heard every note he was playing. And these dudes are fucking raging, bro. And again, three vocalists. They have their front man, they have their bassist screams, and then their drummer does their clean vocals. So, I mean, and all three of them, I mean, they were, you know, when you see a band and you're like, wow, those dudes were fucking on it tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Boundaries was fucking on it.
Yeah, and I mean,
and they might disagree. They might be like, ah, that was an all right show. But for me, I mean, it takes a lot to like really impress me with a band that I'm seeing for the first time, and those dudes blew me the fuck away.
You could tell everybody in the band was on point that night.
Oh, dude.
I don't think any of them would have looked back at their performance and said, eh.
And so many of their songs, we talked about this on the way home that night, so many of their songs we noticed have a lot of tempo changes, and they fucking nailed them.
Look, that in metal, I mean, in any kind of music, is really difficult to do, but the extent to which they do it is so fucking difficult. And you really don't hear that outside of, like, I think I've heard it referred to as, like, mathcore. Like, you know, prog, Polyphia, metal, and shit like that.
Periphery.
Where they're really rhythmic. Yeah, and even, like, djent and stuff.
That's
like,
what's crazy about these dudes is they're, like, almost deathcore. There's, like, almost no clean vocals in any of their songs. And they're doing all these crazy-ass tempo changes, then throwing in some chugs. And it just, they're fucking all over the place.
Yeah,
but it was so precise.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, never missed a beat.
You gotta wonder, like, one, we've mentioned how a lot of bands, you know, have trouble with like click tracks and things like that.
Yes.
They have to be playing to a click track, because every band that played had like the in-ear monitors and whatnot. And, you know, they likely have a click track going, at least for the drummer, through that monitor system. And to be able to play live to that is so fucking hard because your emotions and everything want to just take you away.
Yeah.
And they're able to stick to those precise tempo changes, stay in the pocket together, but also still keep the energy.
Oh my God, absolutely.
It's crazy.
I was so impressed because bro, their bassists look like, and this isn't an insult, this is a compliment, my friend, if you're listening. Their bassist looked like he was like 19, dude. And
are you sure?
Yeah.
He didn't look like he was 19.
I thought he looked really young. You thought he looked old?
I didn't think he looked old, but I thought he was like maybe, you know, our age.
I mean, he might be. Maybe I'm not giving ourselves enough credit here.
I mean, we're still young and beautiful, baby.
You're right. That's true. But they just, the way that they put, their songs are very complex musically because, again, three vocalists, two guitarists, the bass is doing so much. Their drummer is a fucking madman. Like, I think I took more videos, and I hate recording at shows. The reason I did it at this show was because I wanted to put some out on our socials. And I think I took more videos. And when I say more, I think I took a total of three from Boundaries. I usually took one from every other band, but I took three from Boundaries. Just I'm like, I want to savor this shit because we stood kind of in the back for that set because we just got a beer and we're kind of up elevated a little bit and just watching the fucking pit go absolutely nuts. Oh my.
I'm sure someone had a broken nose after that.
Oh, dude, it was the sweat that was pouring off of people after their set, bro, because it was don't have a soft song, gross. Bro. They fucking rage. And the thing that I thought was super cool, too, and I kind of felt out of place, there was a lot of parts where, you know, they throw the mic to the crowd for the crowd to hit the line, and they knew it. And I'm like, oh, I'm a bitch. I'm paying my respects today, boys. I got my Boundary shirt on. I'm paying my respects.
So one thing I would like to note is I had checked out one of their albums, right? Okay. So I checked out the one album with the black and red cover, and I had listened through it while in the gym.
Fades or something.
And sometimes I have a tendency to allow that, you know, whatever I'm listening to in the gym to be kind of background noise.
Yeah.
Just something to help emphasize the mood. And not really listen to the music very much. And it must have been a situation like that where I listened through it, but I wasn't very focused. I enjoyed it while I listened to it, but it really didn't hit me. And then hearing them live, it hit me. And then I go back and I start listening to their records again. And I'm like, holy fuck.
We listened to Boundaries like all the way home, bro.
The whole way home.
I mean, I think we listened to like one Kublai Khan song, but other than that, it was Boundaries hour long drive home.
Their screamer, their main vocalist, he's screaming.
Oh, he's screaming, bro. He's not doing this.
He's got
bitch
a hell
ass
of a holler on him, boy.
Brother, if you're listening, and I hope you are, a hell of a holler is the highest form of compliment that you can get about a scream. He was absolutely fucking raging. And it's that scream that is, like, very hard to mimic. It's not, you know, we talk about guys screaming properly. Boundaries is, it's, no. What did I say to you when we were standing there? I said, he screams like Jamie from Polaris. And not that it sounds the same, but when Jamie screams, it's almost like they're yelling.
Yeah.
And he is going fucking ballistic. And another vocalist that we're going to talk about here in a minute does the same thing and did the same thing live. But I was so impressed with that type of scream.
Oh, yeah. But another thing I'd like to add to that, he does have kind of like the one scream. He doesn't have a ton of range.
No.
But because they have the other guy screaming, they're able to add some dynamic in there.
Yep, they're able to kind of give that back and forth, that octave type screaming that I really like. I call them high lows.
And I thought Omerita had done a really good job of that.
Omerita did a great job of that too, because their Omerita's guitarist kind of does that scorching scream type thing, and their front man does the more guttural, lower pitch. So, and Boundaries kind of does the same thing, where their bassist is hitting a lot of the higher screams while their front man is hitting those fucking wicked ass, like, demonic guttural growls. And then you said it perfectly. You see a band like that live, and they blow you away like they do, and then you go and listen to the record again, and you hear it completely different than you did the first time.
Uh-huh.
It gives you a whole new appreciation. And just to drive that point home, no band since Norma Jean has blown me away like that the first time seeing them. I mean, those are the two bands that I've seen live for the first time that I'm like, wow, these are like Mount Rushmore concerts I've been to for as good of a performance they put on.
And I'll say, there's been several bands that have hit me like that, where like I really didn't get into them that much until I seen them live, and then it just made sense.
Yeah, you get it.
It just, yeah, I get it now.
And Boundaries is definitely one of those for you.
Oh, fuck yes. Yeah.
So we kind of said that Boundaries kind of stole the night, stole the show, and it brought up an interesting topic that we're going to cover when Preston's back on the show from vacation. So we'll get to that at a later date. But let's move into Moths, the band that we signed up to go see, right?
Yep.
And this kind of applies for Moths and Counterparts both. Boy, the world must be hard up for bassists out there. That's not a slight. That's not a slight at all. I'm just saying. So both Moths and Counterparts played the show, and I'm guessing the whole tour, or at least a lot of the tour, without a bassist.
Yep.
So, you know, they got their two guitarists, and they have their drummer and their vocalist, and that's it. So, man, that's tough. How do you overcome something like that? You know, is it a backing track? Is it, you know, bringing the low end of the guitars out? Is it?
It's like this. Both of them were clearly using some backing tracks.
You kind of have to have
the bass in there. But we're gonna bring it back to a previous episode. Having the bass there, it's in like person, playing with the band is like having the Trojan, you know,
on
skin.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Where like,
it's there, but you don't really know it's there. That's like
the elite condom, yeah. Right? And then having those backing tracks are like those shitty ones you get at the health department.
Or the ones that you get from the truck stop.
Yeah.
25 cents. So that was definitely, I'm sure, an inconvenience for them. But
there's just no energy from the bass. Because, I mean, look, whether you notice the bass playing or notice what the bass is playing or not,
musicians notice.
When the fucking bass player is there, and especially like with Boundaries where you heard everything that was being played and stuff, you can't fucking beat that.
No.
You can't beat that. You can't fucking just say, oh, you know, we'll throw in some backtracks just to have the bass going and expect it to have the same feel. It doesn't feel the same.
Yeah.
And that's quite unfortunate.
It is. And you feel for them, right?
Right.
I mean, it's not their fault that they don't have a bassist. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, because I know that Moths was down, and one of those guys is a fill-in. I think their other guitarist is a fill-in because they're down to three full-time members. Counterparts, I don't know what the story is behind that. But, you know, you feel for them and give them fucking props for going out there and putting on a good show with you know, a huge missing piece. Mm-hmm. You know, even as a guitarist, I can say this: if you're a two guitar piece and you're missing one, you can still pretty much put on the same show. If you're missing the bassist, bro, it's not like missing your drummer, but it's damn close. You know what I mean? So, because in my opinion, the bass and the drums bring more energy than just about anybody.
That's bringing a lot of the feel.
Yeah. It's all the groove too.
The groove, the feel, it's all coming from that rhythm section, the bass and the drums. Without those, man, it's tough. But yeah, I mean, even still, Moth's put on a great show.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris is a monster.
He's
a freak of nature, dude. Like when he is screaming, and like you said, it almost looks like he's having a seizure. He's snapping his neck back and forth, and you can see the, I mean, we're like 30 feet away.
It's like an exorcism is happening.
It releasing some fucking demons.
Exactly.
Bro. You can see the veins popping out of his neck, and he is just losing his fucking mind. And I'm like, holy shit, he's insane. I mean, I literally put in my notes, Chris is a monster. And he's just this little ass dude. I've got a great story to tell about Chris after their set, but we'll get to that. But, you know, this little ass short haired dude that you see him in a crowd at a metal show, you go, that guy screams in a metal band just because he fits the bill, bro. But you know, you would never expect those sounds to come out of him.
And no.
He absolutely crushed it. I wonder if he was having a little, you know, maybe throat soreness or something like that, because one of the guitarists was helping him out seemingly more than normal on vocals. Well,
I know that guy helps out some on vocals, but I felt like compared to the last time I seen them live, he was doing more.
Yeah.
This time, and maybe
more of the
like
singing.
They didn't have the same set as what we heard the last time we seen him or seen them. So maybe it's just those particular songs, but I felt like he was doing a lot more than he normally would. And I could tell that Chris, when he was hitting his clean vocals, he still has a kind of a rasp to his clean vocals.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was trying to hit those high notes and stuff, it was coming out more like an incorrect scream.
Sure.
Kind of like how Sean and I had started screaming, where we would just kind of pick a pitch and then just push it really hard to make it sound just
kinda
raspy and you know, some grit to it. But that's kind of what I was hearing from him through the set. But at the same time, they weren't playing their songs where there was a lot of that singing.
No,
and I wonder if that was intentional, and that's where, you know, I had the discussion of maybe he was having some vocal issues, and he kind of had this attitude about him at this show where he just kind of didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, it was funny. Counterparts actually tweeted after the show, I don't think I've ever seen Chris be more mean to a crowd than I have tonight. And he was kind of an asshole to the crowd, but in a funny way, not in like a... It was fucking hilarious.
Never been called a motherfucker so many times in my life.
There was a song they played where he was like, Chris said, we're going to play this, and this is probably the last time we'll ever play this song, and I mean this from the bottom of my fucking heart. I fucking hate this song. Let's go. And they played it. And I was like, Chris, don't give a fuck. I'm like, that's how you know you're huge. Mm-hmm. When you can, like, just have a night where you're, I'm not making assumptions or anything like that, but you can be pissed off or worn out or tired or something and still go out there and put on that type of performance.
Well, like, when we seen them up in Cleveland, he had some of that attitude about him and kind of that swagger and that kind of, I don't give a fuck what you think kind of thing. I'm here to play. I'm going to play our songs. I'm going to do my thing.
If you don't like it,
you like it. You don't, I'm doing it anyway. Sucks to be you. But like this show, he was very much like, how fucking dare y'all just fucking stand there?
Oh, dude, if there was a single second where the pit wasn't going nuts, like, bro, I was afraid he was going to like look at me when I wasn't like doing something and like call me out.
I like those parts where he's like, bounce, 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 bounce.
I mean, going into his
fucking scream parts.
If you go to a Moth show, you better not fucking stance. I don't care if you're two-stepping. I don't care if you're swinging. I don't care if you're just, you know, circle pit. I don't give a fuck what you're doing. You better be fucking moving. Because if not, Chris will see you, and he will call your bitch ass out. So you better be fucking moving. But yeah, the fucking bounce, and the whole place is jumping. I'm like, dude, this is fucking
awesome. I imagine some people in the crowd needing therapy after that.
Yeah.
Therapist is like, Chris is not going to come out of nowhere and force you to pit. And then here comes fucking Chris. Fucking
Chris can't get you.
TKO.
You're sitting in the corner doing this. Chris can't get me.
Chris can't get me.
He crawls out from under the bed.
All of a sudden you're bounce.
You motherfuckers. Hey, real quick, what's the score of the Reds game? Chris in between songs is like, hey, somebody tell me the score of the Reds game real quick. And like, everybody's so scared they pulled out their phones. We're like, and then when they found out it wasn't good.
He commands the crowd.
Bro, he abs his.
I don't think I've seen anybody live command a crowd the way that he does.
Dude, he is so intimidating on stage. Bro, I literally hid behind a dude for a bit because I'm like, bro, don't see me not moshing and like call me out, man. Because then, God, he is incredibly intimidating on stage. The crowd control, stage presence. When he looks like he's going through a fucking exorcism during a song, you're like, I'm not going to not do what he tells me to do.
Right.
So, but anyways, for being short-staffed, what a fucking great set. So glad that I finally got to see him live. Can't wait to go see him again next time they're in town or close. If you haven't seen him, you need to. So, and fun story, after their set, I went over to their merch tent to get a shirt. And funny enough, Chris was the one doing merch. And we wore, shamelessly, our pod shirts to the show, which was cool. Because we had a lot of people come up to us and ask about the shirts and all, you know, is it a podcast? And, you know, ask about the show, ask about Screaming Evidence. Because, you know, hell, I had a Screaming Evidence hat on. But so it was cool to do that. But I walk up to the merch tent, stand in line, and then it's my turn. And the first words out of Chris's mouth, he points at my shirt and says, yo, I saw that logo on Twitter today. And I was like, of course, you know, I'm trying not to fanboy out. He's already had like the six people in front of me asked to take a picture with him, and I'm not going to be that guy. And I'm like, yeah, man. I was like, yeah, it's a podcast. I don't know if I said it's a podcast or it's our podcast, but he was like, man, I saw that logo on Twitter today. Hell yeah. I was like, yeah, it's a podcast or it's our podcast or whatever. And that's about all I said. Cause I'm the last guy that's going to be like, oh, you should listen to it. You should listen. No, I'm not going to fanboy out like that. If he wants to check it out, he can check it out. If not, that's cool too. But anyways, it was super cool that, you know, one of your favorite musicians like immediately recognizes your brand. Like, that's cool as fuck.
That is the power of branding, sir.
That's cool as fuck. And Omerta, same thing with them. They've liked and retweeted some of our stuff. So it's super cool to have bands that you've seen and you enjoy recognize that. But he was so cool, you know, talking to him at the merch tent. You could tell, like, he's got his onstage persona. And I'm not calling it fake. It's just, man, when you get on stage, you know, you get in this mindset. It's completely different than when you're off stage. Mm-hmm. So I was afraid, you know, I didn't want to talk to him too much because I didn't know if he was in a bad mood. I certainly didn't want to piss him off, and I sure as hell wasn't going to fanboy out. But he was so cool. He was so down to earth. He was so polite, and I was happy to support him. I hope you guys are listening. I hope you check out the show. We've talked about you guys a fuck ton, so you're one of our favorite bands. You're Tyler's favorite metalcore band. So
absolutely.
But again, thanks for the recognition, Chris. That's awesome. All right, on to Counterparts. And full disclosure, I think we stayed for, what, three songs?
Yeah.
This is not meant as a shot at Counterparts at all. And this kind of leads into the topic that we're really going to dive into when Preston's back from vacation. When an opening act or opening acts sets the bar so high that it's almost virtually impossible to follow up.
Yep.
And I really felt like that's what Boundaries and Moths, more specifically Boundaries, did.
Oh yeah.
You know, Counterparts comes out, you can tell they've got great energy, you can tell they're pretty talented. They've the crowd's going nuts. They're really, really young. I mean, their guitarists looked really young.
Yep.
And it's not meant as a sign of disrespect, but, you know, we were kind of to the point where, boy, how do you follow up Boundaries and how do you follow up Moths? And, you know, we kind of dipped out early to beat traffic. Not that, you know, we didn't want to support. Obviously, we supported. We paid for the ticket. We showed up.
Yep.
You know, but it was just kind of hard to compete with what we had already heard.
When you have a band that just comes out and absolutely demolishes you for 20, 25 minutes, and then another band comes out and does the same thing, you're almost tired.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's a lot, man. And it begs the question of, you know, how do people feel when that happens? That's kind of the first scenario that I've been in like that, where an opening acts or supporting acts, I don't want to call them opening, but supporting acts, blow you away like that. Cause like the Norma Jean show we went to, that was Grey Haven and another band. Grey Haven was great. They weren't Norma Jean. Norma Jean was the headliner appropriately. You know, there was a show the day before our show on Friday, that was Norma Jean opening for Memphis Mayfire. And that's not meant as disrespect to Memphis Mayfire, but like, bro, if you've ever seen Norma Jean live, like,
they are called the almighty Norma Jean for a fucking reason.
And we talked about that show. We're like, man, I'd love to go see Norma Jean again, but we would go for 25 minutes and leave because nobody in here is a gigantic Memphis fan to begin with. Their old shit's great, but just the energy and the type of music, and it would be so hard to listen to a Norma Jean set and then listen to a Memphis set.
I wonder who thought that they would go well together on
a bill.
They're
completely different genres, for one.
Like, and I thought Grey Haven and Norma Jean together was pretty good.
Perfect. That's a perfect pairing.
They're very different, but with the same vibe, I would say.
Kublai Khan would be a great one to put on that bill, too. Another hardcore band like that. Yeah. Woo.
But, like, for me, I've been listening to Counterparts for a while. I think Preston had sent them to me originally.
Yeah, I was going to say, Preston's been listening to them for a while.
My only complaint about them is because I prefer to listen to music album to album.
Mm-hmm.
Counterparts is a band where I have a hard time making it through a whole album unless it is like background noise while I'm in the gym.
Yeah.
Because it is a constant rage. It is a constant theme throughout, you know, song to song to song. And so if I'm in the gym and I need to put on an album to make it through a 45-minute workout or whatever, Counterparts is a pretty, you know, common band that I'll throw on.
Sure.
But if I'm in the car and I'm listening, you know, with intent, I have a hard time making it through. And part of it is a complaint that we have brought up many times on the show, which is when the scream is just one scream the entire time and it's not broken up with clean vocals, it's just straight screaming every song, but it's the same scream all the way throughout, it gets monotonous.
Yeah.
I
thought when I kind of dove into them, I don't want to sound rude or anything like that, because they're very popular. Obviously, they got their own headlining tour, and there's a ton of people that like them, but they're just not my cup of tea. That's okay. I thought a lot of their stuff kind of sounded the same to me.
I think musically, song to song, it's different.
Sure.
Right? But it's for me, just vocally, because it's not like they have an additional screamer or additional vocalist. It's just the one guy the one way every song, every time. And for me, I really just wanted to hear at least a few songs by them.
Yeah.
Right? So I went to that show more for like Moths to Flames than anything.
Same.
I wanted to hear Counterparts, but at the same time, I'm like, dude, I've been up since 4:30.
Yes.
I've been blown away by Boundaries. That kind of stole the show.
Mm-hmm.
They set the bar high. Counterparts comes out. First off, for whatever reason, there was an extended period of time for them to get set up and get started. So
there was probably another 10 or 15 minutes.
The wait there was kind of irritating. And so by the time they played, I was kind of like,
Over it.
Which I think they done themselves a disservice there, and I don't know, maybe there was a technical difficulty or something like that, But by the time they came out, I mean, fuck, there was like 30 to 40 minutes between Moths and them playing.
Yeah.
And by that time, I was like, y'all should have started at least
20 minutes ago.
15 minutes ago.
Yeah. There was a good 15, 20 minutes extra between, because we had actually talked about before Moths came on, like, man, they are getting, they're going between sets in a hurry.
Dude,
they're
it was like 15 minutes in between each set.
Yeah.
Which.
Just enough time to take a piss, get a beer.
I think perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's gives perfect for the crowd. It's perfect for the stage crew.
Yeah.
And for them, it was like 30 to 40 minutes before they took the stage. And I was like, man.
You lose that energy.
I lost my excitement around it.
Same.
And same. So once we got through the few songs, I was kind of with you. I was trying to get home. I didn't want to be out too late.
No.
We had a drive.
Through Columbus on the night they were doing fireworks.
I had to stick around for at least a few songs.
Yeah.
The few songs they played, they fucking killed it.
Oh, absolutely.
They fucking killed
it. They were on point. Yeah.
They were perfect on what they were playing. Screamer sounded like he was having a great fucking day.
Yeah,
absolutely. The guitarist, you know, tone and everything to me was good. They had like a little wall of orange cabinets set up. I know not everybody is into that sound. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
The darker sound of the orange cabinets and, you know, amplifiers and stuff. I enjoy that, but I also am into, you know,
Hardcore
and new metal and shit like that, where it is more of a darker tone. So yeah, what they did play was fantastic.
Yeah.
But I was, by the time they took the stage, I was kind of over the night.
Yeah, not necessarily over them, just over the night. You know, that's not, you know, not necessarily counterpart's fault, but it's just, man, like I said, we'd had a long day. We both worked all day. Hour and 15 minute drive up there, hour and 15 minute drive home. So there was a lot involved in that. Plus we'd already been, you know, ravaged by Boundaries, and Moths both. So it was kind of to the point where we'd heard, you know, like I said, we'd heard a couple songs and kind of lost that energy. And then once we lost it, couldn't really get it back. You know, and I don't know that anything would have got it back just because it'd been a long day. So, weren't there. This sounds terrible, but.
Plus, we had, you know, some Five Guys burgers and fries on the way up. So that was kind of sitting heavy.
Yeah, them carbs, bud.
Oh, bro, it was amazing.
Especially when
you
hadn't had a carb all fucking day like me. Like, I didn't have a single carb all day.
I'd barely had carbs all week.
Well, I mean, same. That's my problem is I'll fucking go all day without having any carbs, and then with the worst time to eat them, I'm like, some bread sounds good. But anyway.
Or some Cajun seasoned fries.
Oh, fuck.
See, I think overall it was a good show.
It was a fantastic show.
I think the venue has their shit together, well organized. The sound was great overall. I think
cool atmosphere, cool people.
Each band brought a different element, but I think they all worked well together on a bill.
Yeah,
which
was really good to have four bands fit that well together on a bill.
Right.
Whew.
Especially, you know, talking about fucking Norma Jean and Memphis Mayfire being on a bill together. Like, that's kind of stupid.
Yeah. But good for Norma Jean to get on, because Memphis is insanely popular, so they're more popular than Norma Jean.
Yeah.
You know, so for them to get on that big of a bill, good for them. But yeah, great show. If I could have reworked the show order, I probably would have had it. Omerita, Counterparts, Moths, Boundaries.
Yeah.
As my headliner.
Hindsight's 2020.
Hindsight's 2020. But great show. Awesome bands. I'm so glad we got to come out and see you guys. Being dads with full time jobs and side projects like the pod and the band and other shit. It's harder than it used to be for us to get out and
a new dog.
Huh?
A new dog.
Yeah, you do have a new dog. So it's a lot harder for us to go out and see shows, so we're pretty picky about the ones that we go to. Like I said, we went to this one. Our next one's not till October, and it's fucking Polaris and Currents. So,
yep.
Who you've already seen both.
Yep.
I haven't seen either yet, but I'm juiced about it. So, again, mentioning Polaris, obviously, you know, our deepest condolences to the family of Ryan, the members of Polaris. An incredible loss for the music, the metal community. Huge influence on me musically. And yeah, he's definitely missed. Will always be missed. And I know that Polaris will carry on his legacy and his memory well. So thank you guys for tuning in. I know we went over our allotted time here, but we do that a lot. Hope you enjoyed this little quick breakdown. And we'll make sure to keep you in the loop on all of our upcoming concerts that we go to. And we'll always try to do some of these breakdown episodes because I think this will be pretty popular and give some people reasons to go to shows, because that's what we want. We want people going to see live music.
Absolutely.
Tyler, any other closing thoughts?
No, there's some things that show brought up that we'll hit on some main episodes, some hot takes maybe, things like that. But
yeah, they gave us some great topics for some season 4 comments.
I will say we had band practice today and my screams were on point.
Outstanding.
And I find that after every metal show I go to, for whatever reason, for the few practices after, my screams are fucking there.
Yeah.
And it's don't know what it is. It's something about the state of mind that it puts me in, sure, for like, and it's a lasting effect. It's not like just the next day I can scream or I feel like doing it well or whatever. It's like several weeks after. So I think going to concerts, getting to experience that, let loose a little bit, be like Chris, exercise some demons.
Fuck yeah. It's metal as fuck, bro.
Yes. I think it has a lasting effect on your state of mind. And I think it's very important for everyone, regardless what kind of music you're into.
There's
to
nothing
get out,
like live music.
Get out, listen to more live music,
yeah,
and fucking talk about it with your people.
And go see bands you've never seen before. I would have never discovered Boundaries if it wasn't for this show, and now they're like my whole fucking personality. So,
and it's not even like it's that expensive to go to shows.
It was our tickets were $20.
$20, and then it was another, well, Five Guys is pretty expensive, so like another $20
meal
to eat
was more expensive than our concert tickets.
Right, so, whatever that is, and then we even had to drive an hour there and an hour back, like, probably cost $15-$20 in gas. Like, you're talking about $20, $40, $60, $80, like...
$100.
$100
total
for two people to go see a show, and it's going to have a lasting effect.
Absolutely.
On us for fucking life. I'll never forget those first three notes coming out of Boundaries and my whole fucking demeanor changing.
That one breakdown where I put on all the social medias on my Snapchat. Oh yeah.
There was that one song, No One Gets a Happy Ending.
Oh,
that fucking breakdown there. Oh,
the breakdown. I can't remember which song it is. Where I am undeniable, and the whole fucking place is jumping. And he starts talking like I am undeniable, and it this build up.
It's a
and
build
that place,
up.
The place starts fucking going. Yeah, it's fucking insane. There's nothing like live music. Go out and see somebody. And talk about it. Talk about your experience. That's why we're doing this episode here, because it's always fun to talk about this shit. So, as always, make sure you follow all of our socials, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, all of it, at TSIS Podcast, or just search The Screaming Idiots Show. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Hope you enjoyed it. And until next time, we are The Screaming Idiots. We'll see you next week.
Peace, love, dove.